Paul McGuire. We were talking about the Nazi rocket scientists, the rock and roll bands, Aldous Huxley, Jim Morrison of the Doors of Perception by Aldous Huxley, and how they converged into what I call a vortex up on Lookout Mountain and Laurel Canyon, spanning a time period from like 1936, 1947, continuing on, and only God knows what or if anything is happening in that geographic location today. Now, one of the things that the Nazi rocket scientists uncovered is they had Nazi scientists that were Nazi rocket scientists, like Wernher von Braun, who started NASA. There were Nazi scientists who were mind control scientists who developed the MKUltra LSD mind control program. And there were the Nazi rocket scientists that were the genetic engineers that experimented on the DNA of and genetically modifying people who were concentration camp victims. That's heavy stuff. All of that heavy stuff is continuing on today. It's just happening beneath the surface of what we could call an artificial reality. The Nazi rocket scientists who were up in Lookout Mountain and Laurel Canyon, and they were down in Florida as they built NASA, and they were in geographic locations in multiple places across the United States in order to build rockets, et cetera, et cetera. JPL, where Jack Parsons, the famous American rocket scientist that Wernher von Braun called the father of American rocketry, helped found JPL. And Parsons had a dark side in that he was a practicing Satanist, and he belonged to a lodge that was part of the great Satanist Aleister Crowley's satanic occult network. And Jack Parsons had a mansion, but the mansion was connected to Aleister Crowley's international satanic group. And Jack Parsons developed the rocket fuel that made it possible for the U.S. space program to have incredible breakthrough. So there's a lot of weird things going on. And it was by accessing supernatural data and content and knowledge and combining that with research based on history, documentation, reason, logic, history, etc. So you take two apparently different disciplines and you merge them. And when you merge them, that propels you into a higher level of thinking and understanding, and knowledge gives you power. So, once again, there's a convergence, a vortex in the invisible realm. So the Office of Naval Intelligence, ONI, they sponsored a program in which Robert Heinlein, the great science fiction author of like Stranger in a Strange Land and many other books, Starship Troopers, he headed up this Office of Naval Intelligence think tank where they were instructed to think out of the box. They wanted breakthrough thinkers. The Navy intelligence wanted breakthrough thinkers. They wanted people who blew the box open and thought out of the box. They wanted people who could outthink and outsmart and outcreate the Nazi scientists, when it came to technology, when it came to harnessing occult power, when it came to technologies. And so Heinlein was the officer in charge of all of this. But you see, what a lot of people don't know is that L. Ron Hubbard, who, and by the way, I talk about this in A Prophecy of the Future of America, Volume 1 and 2. I talk about it in The Greatest Battle. I talk about it heavily if you pre-order Power from On High. And there's a through line that's mathematically precise and spiritually dynamic, if you will, regarding all of these what appears to be separate data inputs, but in actuality, there's a synergy between them all. So L. Ron Hubbard was also an officer in the Office of Naval Intelligence, as Heinlein was. And he participated in these secret meetings of the biggest and the brightest golden age of science fiction writers, like Isaac Asimov, who wrote iRobot and Foundation series. L. Ron Hubbard, who founded Scientology, but he was also a huge science fiction novelist. Robert Campbell, who wrote the book, and they did the movie called The Thing. And others. And again, their job, their assignment from the Office of Naval Intelligence was to think so far out of the box, use their imagination, their knowledge of science and technology, their ability to predict the future based on a deep understanding of where current science and technology was taking us. And once again, the bottom line is, the Office of Naval Intelligence needed these super smart, super creative guys, these science fiction writers who had other talents, to totally blow the Nazi scientists out of the water and enable the U.S. military to beat the Nazis in rocketry, to protect ourselves from their mind control programs, and to take the lead in genetic engineering, which is exploding all around us, by the way, if you open your eyes. So they would meet regularly up on Lookout Mountain in Robert Heinlein's house, and L. Ron Hubbard eventually moved in with Robert Heinlein and his wife. And so L. Ron Hubbard and Robert Heinlein lived just about seven houses down from me, except they lived there in 1947, and I lived there in the mid-1980s when I was producing independent science fiction feature films. And I was an executive producer on one particular film called Wired to Kill, in which, strangely enough, the slogan on the poster underneath the words Wired to Kill, the slogan on the poster says, "If you want history, you got to make your own," which is a statement that is true. History belongs to those who are willing to acquire knowledge which gives power. History belongs to those who see themselves as conquerors like Joshua and Caleb. History belongs to those who are brave and have knowledge which gives power. That's what those people can create history. People who are filled with unbelief. You look in the book of Revelation. How many times do you hear Christian Bible teachers teach on this? Never. Absolutely never. And it's disgusting. There's a whole list of sins in the book of Revelation where it says, if you are committing these sins, you'll be disqualified. Your name will be blotted out of the book of life, like immorality and all this other stuff, okay? But the very first sin that is listed or itemized is the sin of cowardice. In other words, the sin of being a coward is specifically written in the book of Revelation, and it is the very first number one sin that God is drawing us to pay attention to. He's not drawing us to pay attention to the other sins that we would normally think he would. What's front and center on God's agenda is that God's people understand that being a coward is a high-level sin, and that there is such thing as the sin of cowardice. Yet, and I'm not bragging yet, but with the exception of myself, I've never heard a Christian Bible teacher or a minister in my entire life as a Christian, which is 40 years plus, I have never heard a sermon preached on the sin of being a coward and the sin of cowardice. And yet it's number one. Why is that? It's because evangelical Christians in America, or so-called born-again Christians in America, have like blinders over their eyes, and without vision, the people perish. God Almighty, Jesus Christ, wants us to focus in on that sin. Because you see, when we commit that sin as ordinary Christians, as Christian leaders, as Christian lay people, or whatever, just people who call themselves Christians, when we knowingly or unknowingly commit the sin of being a coward or the sin of cowardice, God is trying to teach us from the book of Revelation that when you commit the sin of being a coward, you're literally flipping a switch in the space-time continuum, and you are literally blowing apart the future. You're destroying the future. The future, which God ordained to be a blessing, and God, yes, is sovereign. God is Lord over the future, not me, not you. God is sovereign. God's Lord of the future. God lives outside of the space and time continuum. But he wants us to notice that committing the sin of being a coward or cowardice is a planetary life or death, human extinction level event, sin. It's heavy duty. So, for example, right now in America, I would say to you, the greatest sin in America is not what non-believers are doing. The greatest sin in America is being done by the church. And the greatest sin in America probably involves a number of things in the Bible. But I think first and foremost among the list, let's say, of the top 5 or 10 sins that we could commit before God in what the Bible calls the last days, the sin of cowardice and the sin of being a coward is a critical sin. Because you see, once the body of Christ opens themselves up to committing the sin of cowardice and being a coward, that releases a spiritual force which takes America and Christians in America, the church in America, and it takes America into a death spiral or a downward spiral. And all the things that God wants to do, you see, God gave the pilgrims and Puritans, because they were not cowards, they were not committing the, sin of cowardice. God gave to the Pilgrims and Puritans in the 1600s an enormous amount of revelation about his purpose and the future for America. America was given by God a unique destiny and purpose for the future. And that unique destiny and purpose for the future in America encompasses bringing in the last day soul harvest and winning millions of souls to Jesus Christ. It also involves occupying until Jesus comes. It also involves not caving in to the powers of darkness, the principalities and powers, the demonic powers, etc. God does not want us to surrender to the sin of being a coward and surrender to the powers of darkness and the demonic forces. Because if we do that, we will obliterate our future, our destiny, and our purpose before God. And it's an eternal purpose. And that eternal purpose involves you and I partnering with other believers in bringing hundreds of millions of people to Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior in the last days. It's a very sobering assignment. So, back to Lookout Mountain and Laurel Canyon and what was happening there. There was a German scientist, a genius in all kinds of high-level technology. His name was Dr. Willy Ley, L-E-Y. In 1945, he was speaking before a special dinner in Manhattan, New York City. And in attendance were people like the science fiction writer Robert Heinlein, L. Ron Hubbard, Campbell, and other writers who were part of the golden age of science fiction. And they were assigned the task of learning as much as they possibly could from the Nazi scientist, Dr. Willy Ley, about Nazi Germany's secret source of power and secret technology and secret science. When you look at history and you look from an historical perspective, which I outlined for you in my book, The Greatest Battle for the Hearts and Minds of Mankind in the History of the World, and I outlined for you in A Prophecy of the Future of America, Volume 1 and 2, and Power from On High. And you can get discount prices on all of those books at paulmaguire.us. In each one of those books and some of the others, I outline different parts of the unfolding of the secret plan and expose it to you. You see, when the Nuremberg trials happened, when they were putting on trial all the Nazi scientists who participated in criminal experiments against concentration camp victims, many of the greatest criminals that should have been punished through the Nuremberg trials were secretly smuggled to safety and escaped judgment. One giant entire area that was covered up by the Nuremberg trials and Winston Churchill was the relationship between Nazi Germany, Adolf Hitler, the Nazi rocket scientists, and their secret technologies and the secret Vril force, an occult force, V-R-I-L. So Dr. Willy Ley, when he was lecturing in Manhattan to people like L. Ron Hubbard and Robert Heinlein and others, he was teaching and they were listening very carefully and they were getting as much information and history and data and content and understanding as they could regarding Nazi scientists, secret sciences, and secret technology. Everything from the MKUltra mind control program to the Nazi V2 rockets, and most importantly, to the fact that Adolf Hitler and the Nazis, the reason that National Socialist dictatorship rose to power so quickly and had such heavy, heavy-duty military science fiction-like technology, and why they were able to invade and conquer very powerful nations all across Europe, the Nazis would just crush them. It's because the Nazis and Adolf Hitler were not purely relying on human intellect, human strength, human wisdom, human logic, human reason, human science, human technologies. There's a great secret that has to be cracked open. The real secret source of nothing less than a supernatural energy, a supernatural intelligence, a supernatural power energized the Nazi scientists, the technology, the rockets, their military, their secret societies, and the power of the Nazi military machine grew exponentially because it wasn't relying on merely human power. It was relying secretly on occult satanic power. And one of those aspects of satanic occult power was secretly guided and developed by the Nazi scientists and the secret German occult secret societies throughout Germany and Europe. And the Vril Society, V-R-I-L, and the Thule Society, and other offshoots of the Vril Society, secret society, they possessed the secrets of what Dr. Willie Ley, he was the world's leading expert. Dr. Willie Ley knew more about the Vril Force and the Nazis' usage of the Vril Force than any man in the world during that time. And so he was giving the secrets, the super secrets of the Vril Force to the Nazi war machine and to the Nazi scientists and technology people. And he was also opening up the secret understanding of the Vril Force to Heinlein and Hubbard and the other science fiction writers. So the Vril Force was a living energy force that was supernaturally powerful and contained numerous supernatural elements. The Vril Force, allegedly claimed by the Nazi scientists and Adolf Hitler and the Nazi technology people, it all goes back to, now I'm just giving you a short burst of it here. You can read the entire account, and you need to understand this because we're going to draw a contrast between the Vril Force and the dunamis dynamite power of the Holy Spirit. And this new book I have reveals two secrets that are in opposition to one another. The secret of the Vril Force and the open secret of the dunamis, or the dynamite power of the Holy Spirit, where the Bible teaches us to be clothed with power from on high. or the dunamis, or the dynamite force of God. So on one hand, within the kingdom of God, through Jesus Christ, and poured out upon the disciples, prophesied in Joel chapter 2 and Acts chapter 2, where it's prophesied about the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in the last days. The specific part of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in the last days is God's call to you and me and his church today in America and around the world. God is calling us now at this second. God is calling us to be clothed with power from on high, to be clothed or infused with the dunamis, the dynamite power of the Holy Spirit. This is the highest level supernatural power of God that is released to men and women who are born again and his disciples. And every true believer in Jesus Christ who's truly born again by faith, who has had their sins forgiven and cleansed by the blood of Jesus, every true Christian who has been born again by putting their faith in Christ also has the Holy Spirit living inside of them. And if you will simply ask God in faith for him to clothe you with power from on high, the dunamis or dynamite power of the Holy Spirit, God promises that the minute you ask him in faith to be clothed with power from on high, I've got to get my book here, the Bible, God will do that. He'll fill you with the power of the Holy Spirit. He'll clothe you with power from on high. When that happens, you are walking under a supernatural anointing. You're walking in and it's flowing through you, the supernatural power of God. The only time in this life, in this world, that you have enough supernatural power, that you have sufficient spiritual gifts, and the only time you will see the total release of the supernatural power of God through your life that will heal people, save people, deliver people, but also the supernatural power of God, the dynamite power of the dunamis, is the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit released to drive the demonic forces, the fallen angels, the demons, the principalities and powers, the dark unseen forces of wickedness in heavenly places. When the power of the Holy Spirit, the dunamis, being clothed with power from on high, detonates and explodes from within to without, the inertia, the pure blast of the dunamis power of God vaporizes and destroys satanic strongholds, demons, principalities and powers, and the dark unseen forces of wickedness in heavenly places. See, when you enter that realm, and you can enter that realm right now at this second, at whatever nation you're living in, when you enter that realm, you move instantaneously from playing church to being a part of the supernatural body of Jesus Christ. And that's awesome. That's awesome. So they're learning all about this satanic demonic force. And according to the Nordic legends and German mythological legends and the tales of the occult secret societies in Germany and Norway and Sweden, etc., going all the way back to ancient Babylon at the time of the Tower of Babel, there, every occult religion, every Eastern mystical religion, the Old Testament, the accounts in the New Testament, all point to a time in human history where there was some kind of universal flood which flooded the earth and destroyed all creation except for like a remnant. So all religions, even the occult legends, refer to this global flood and a story around it. Now, the biblical account is the only truthful account of the global flood. And the global flood is indeed the flood of Noah, where God floods the entire earth, destroying all creation, the animal species, the birds, men and women, all creation which had corrupted themselves, which had corrupted their DNA. And the only people that were not destroyed by a DNA digital holographic judgment, the only people that were rescued from that were Noah and his wife, Noah and his sons and their wives, and then two by two, male and female, of every animal species, birds, etc., that came upon the ark that Noah built in obedience to God. And those people who were in the ark were supernaturally rescued from the great flood judgment. And when the flood waters subsided, God once again commanded mankind when he spoke to Noah and Noah's sons and commanded them to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth again. So Nazi occult legend and lore has a similar but distorted account. They have an account of an alien race that arrives on planet Earth in some kind of spaceship or UFO. Okay? And then this super advanced alien race, which is genetically like a Nordic race. So they're very light white skin, very blonde hair, very light blue eyes. So that's the Nazis consider that a master race genetic. I'm not a racist, so I don't believe in the Nazi idea of a master race. I think that's a demonic lie. I believe that God, the God of the Bible, has created all races for a specific purpose. And there's no such thing as a master race. But the Nazis believed that there was. And they believed that the master race of blonde-haired, blue-eyed, light-skinned people came from this alien civilization which landed in the Nordic regions, and they, multiplied and had physical relations with human women, and there was a hybrid mixture of the DNA of this Nordic race from an alien civilization. There was a mixture of the DNA with the DNA of human women, okay, thus creating, in the Nazis' belief system, some kind of master race. Anyway, this advanced race that apparently came from another planet had very high levels of technology and science and knowledge, and they knew this flood was coming. So they migrated, this alien race, this alien super race, after landing in a spaceship, according to the Nazi legends, migrated as quickly as they could and relocated deep under the ice under Antarctica and at both poles, deep under the ice. And deep under the ice of Antarctica, there is supposedly, there exists what is called a midnight sun. It's a giant sphere, which is an underground sun that illuminates these massive, massive caverns and underground worlds that this alien advanced race escaped into before the flood. And this, the name of this sun, which radiates light, energy, healing, intelligence, and all kinds of things. It's more than just a light sun. It's a force of life and intelligence and consciousness and all kinds of stuff. And It's called Vril, V-R-I-L. And the energy and the light that it emanates is called the Vril force. It's an energy force that can heal and keep people alive, but it's also a force that can be channeled for weaponry and military destruction. So, the reason, according to Nazi legend, that the super alien race, Nordic race, survives this great flood is because they migrated deep underground under Antarctica and built a super civilization where that midnight sun, the Vril, was, and where the Vril force emanated. And that's why Adolf Hitler was constantly sending U-2 boats or German submarines to Antarctica to establish secret, massive underground submarine bases and deep underground worlds to live in and survive in. And it was Hitler's intention for himself and the other hierarchy of the Nazis to live near the Vril Force, the land of the midnight sun, deep under Antarctica. And that's supposedly how they survived. Now, the other is either speculative. Whatever it is, I haven't been deep underground in Antarctica. But according to the legend, there is supposed to be some kind of super civilization and super technology that exists there. So Dr. Willie Ley is teaching Einlein and Hubbard about this Vril force. In 1926, the Vril Ya Maidens, who were beautiful female clairvoyants, they met with Nazi scientists in a cafe in Vienna in 1926, and they gave these brilliant Nazi, beautiful Nazi females who were clairvoyants, gave the Nazi scientists blueprints, technological diagrams of UFOs, anti-gravity machines, V-2 rockets, and other sophisticated military warfare and military technology that the Vril Ya Maidens claimed they received, like, telepathically from that civilization in another galaxy. Now, you can laugh and dismiss that. I mean, I don't know what to do with it. But here's where it becomes problematic. The fact of the matter was that at the time that the Vril Ya Maidens were giving the blueprints, the scientific diagrams, et cetera, regarding how to construct anti-gravity machines, time machines, UFOs, rockets, all this futuristic science and technology, along with how to use the Vril force, that put them almost 100 years of America and Great Britain in terms of how advanced their technology and science was. Yet, the German ability to be 100 years advanced in the future came not from normal natural sources, it came supernaturally through the Vril Ya Maidens. So, the American scientists and science fiction writers, etc., were faced with a problem. They could just ridicule and laugh off these fables of Vril Ya Maidens and underground suns, etc. But the problem with laughing it off is you had the reality that the Nazi rocket scientists and technology people were in many places 100 years ahead of American science in rocketry and mind control and genetics. So they were faced with a problem. How do you explain the reality of advanced technology and science already in existence? Or how do you explain the potential reality of, based on these blueprints and the stuff the Vril Ya Maidens gave the Nazis, how do you explain the soon coming arrival to Nazi Germany of all this futuristic advanced technology. And so that's why people like L. Ron Hubbard and Jack Parsons of JPL, he was connected to Wernher von Braun. He was connected to Aleister Crowley. So you have a whole Luciferian network, which, among other things, believed in the Vril Force. All right, we're going to take a brief break here because we need to get into the counterforce, the opposite force, which is the power of God, the infinite personal living God of the universe, the game changer. Knowledge is power. So as you recall, the Nazi rocket scientists and other scientists around the world were pursuing vigorously supernatural technology and science provided by the Vrilya maidens, who apparently, they claimed, came from some advanced super civilization. And they claimed knew how to harness the myriad powers of the Vril Force, V-R-I-L. So, a number of things you have to understand. And I've been talking about this for 40 years. And plagiarized. I mean, there are a number of TV shows on that have aired series, very popular series. I'm not going to name them, but very popular television series that deal with like the supernatural, the Nazi rocket scientists, the Vril Force, Aleister Crowley, Satanism, and all these occult Nazi rocket themes, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Well, nobody seemed to know anything about it. Until I'm not saying I'm the only person, there were others too, but very few who knew about this and understood it to whatever degree and wrote about it in books and then would do national radio shows and national TV shows, etc. So, you know, 25 years ago, approximately, I began to not only research and write on these things and open them up. So I talked about them, I wrote books about them, and we attracted a sizable audience. And that's good, because the purpose is to educate and the purpose is to save. But the problem is, in Hollywood, as a former independent feature film producer myself, there's a lot of guys in Hollywood, not just guys, girls too, who will flat out steal your material, your books, your content, your research. And then what they do is after you do all the work, they steal your work and then they put it in their episodic TV shows and their, you know, documentary TV shows. And so I began to see, about a decade ago, I began to see research, which I had done and I had never seen elsewhere exposed except for very few people. All of a sudden, it was appearing on these big episodic TV shows and big documentary television shows. And I just had to release it to the Lord and literally praise God that, okay, I'm being ripped off, but at least truth is being communicated on a wide scale. You know, when I started writing about this, in my books, and you can get all of these books at a discount at paulmcguire.us. This was not in any Hollywood material, episodic TV material, Discovery Channel type stuff material. It wasn't there. And then all of a sudden, after I started writing my books and speaking and doing national radio interviews and national TV interviews, etc., my stuff, my research began appearing everywhere. And you can't prove it 100%. So, for example, Captain America and a number of the Marvel cartoon characters and other things. Now, I'm not saying that I know for a fact this is what happened. So I don't even want to make an allegation because they may have had some other source. That's fine. But I found it amusing when I would go to some of these movies with Captain America and stuff. And it was all about genetic engineering, Nazi rocket scientists, the Nazi rocket program, super soldiers, and all the stuff that I'm writing about in my book. Now, you know, that stuff happened. Smart people could find out about it. It's just the timing was weird. In any case, it made my job easier as a communicator, a Bible teacher, a writer, an author, et cetera, because in just the span of a decade or two, when I first started out, I would talk about this stuff and people would think I was flat, crazy, raving mad, that I was like a mad dog conspiracy theorist with all this talk of Nazi rocket scientists and the Vril Force and everything else. And Christians, they can be really cold, and they didn't like hearing about this stuff, even though it's true. So in the span of like 10 to 20 years, if even that, all of a sudden, the people that I'm talking about, the subjects that I'm talking about, that I used to be called conspiracy theorist for, it's now front and center in all these superhero movies, Captain Marvel and all these episodic TV shows and, you know, History Channel documentaries. It's everywhere. And so I don't have to go around trying to educate younger generations about this stuff now, because just out of pure entertainment, they all know, they've been educated, and they now know about the many names that I've been mentioning to you and the scientific projects and the secret projects and the secret societies and all this stuff. So the whole game has changed. The whole landscape of communication has changed. Our world has changed because of the internet. So in like 15 years, the entire landscape and environment, like intellectually with thoughts, ideas, and communication, radically changed. All of a sudden, I'm talking to younger generations of people who totally get it. They understand what I'm talking about because they've been immersed in it through watching these movies and episodic TV shows and stuff. Even, for example, as I talk about in my book, Power from On High, Doctor Strange, the movie Doctor Strange, either the episodic Doctor Strange or the movie, I don't know which, but in Doctor Strange, which I think is a Marvel comic Stan Lee franchise, I think. There's a scene where Doctor Strange is holding up Aldous Huxley's book, The Doors of Perception. Now, I had nothing to do with that. I mean, Marvel got that on their own from wherever. But isn't it interesting? People that the average person would have no idea what you're talking about when I started out, are now being, their books, their words, their messages are being talked about and shown in like mainstream Doctor Strange, Marvel movies and television. The whole world's changed. Okay, so what does that mean for you and me? It means that knowledge is power. When you don't have knowledge, you're a victim. So even though a lot of these things are marketed as fictional or science fiction, the reality is they're based on non-fiction and historical realities. So it's not crazy stuff. A lot of it, historically, it may not all be true, but it has a great deal of truth to it. So you and I are now in this world of where science fiction, we live in a world now which we used to dream of, the world that we live in now, as being purely science fiction. We are now living in this world of science fiction. Just look at what is happening in technology, genetics, physics, artificial intelligence, and on and on and on. We are in the future. Things like the hive mind, the world brain. By the way, the world brain, a very popular concept today used by Elon Musk and others, H.G. Wells invented the term, the world brain. And I've been writing about H.G. Wells and the world brain in my earlier books at paulmaguire.us. I didn't have to wait for Google or wait for Elon Musk. H.G. Wells wrote about the world brain somewhere in the late 1800s or the very early 1900s. Our world has been transformed by a scientific, supernatural, and technological revolution. So, what does that mean for you and I? Well, first of all, it means as we're trying to communicate the gospel, the goal in any form of communication is to communicate in such a way that the other person understands and gets what you're trying to say. Otherwise, you're wasting their time and you're wasting your time. So when Jesus Christ tells his followers, that's you and me, that we're to go into all the world and preach the gospel, well, we're supposed to do that. And how do you preach the gospel? You preach the gospel based on the word of God, and your goal is to provide effective communication. And what do we mean by effective communication? Communication that is understood by the person on the receiving end. They get what you're trying to communicate. They understand what you're trying to communicate. You've been effective to the degree they understand it. If you're communicating, but they don't understand it, you're not being effective. And the downside to that is, if you're doing evangelism or Bible teaching or teaching Bible prophecy as a mechanism for evangelism, the downside is you think you're being effective, but they're not getting it. They're not connecting it. And as a consequence, they're not getting saved. They're not getting born again. They're not understanding that Bible prophecy is happening now, et cetera, et cetera. So the task before us, and this is more urgent than ever, is that we stay on our game, that we don't slough off, we don't go into cruise control, we stay at the top of our game so that when we communicate making ourselves available to an infusion of the dunamis dynamite power of the Holy Spirit, which flows through us and literally, supernaturally energizes the words we're communicating. Because when the words that we're communicating through social media, through the internet, through video, audio, cell phones, laptops, whatever, when the words or ideas that we're communicating are intelligent, rational, creative, biblically true, and when they're supernaturally energized, those words and ideas supernaturally come alive and they pierce into the human heart and the human mind and the human consciousness. So when the Word of God, which is alive and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, pierces and cuts asunder anything that would block the penetration of God's Word to the core of another person, when what we speak has been energized by the Holy Spirit, it speaks to the core of the other person. It energizes them at the core of their inner being. And if they will accept the content, which is Jesus Christ as Lord, and if you put your faith in him, you can be saved and born again. If they will do that, even in baby steps, the supernatural energizing force behind your words will produce life. It will produce supernatural fruitfulness. People will be born again. Lives will be transformed. The direction, listen, this is so important. We cannot allow any kind of idea or mental preconception about what we think in our finite human minds may potentially happen in the future, or listen to people who also are giving us their finite human mind ideas about what potentially can happen in the future. We cannot allow those finite human conceptions of the future, we cannot allow them to be a compass upon which we guide our lives, ourselves, our friends, our loved ones into the reality of the future. The reality of the future cannot be created by fallen, sinful, finite human minds that are missing the mark, the target, the bullseye, metanoia. When God first introduced himself in Genesis 1:1, we read how he was the creator and created all things. So God, we discover in Genesis, is the creator, capital C. That's the first characteristic that we learn about God. The first time God reveals himself to us in the Bible regarding his character is in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, where he reveals that he's creative. Christians, I don't know what happened, man. Too much NyQuil? I don't know what the problem is. They fell asleep. They have fallen asleep to the most powerful truths in God's word. So, it's not an accident that in the first chapter, the first verse of the Bible, God tells us that he's creative and a creator, capital C. That is supercharged, supernatural dynamite of truth. So what that means is that God then tells us that you and I are made in the image of God. And so that means you and I are creators and creative. We're not God, but we're creators and creative. The power to create is a God-like quality. Once again, we're not God. But God has given us the ability to create. That worked for Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, in planet Earth, in Genesis. And that works now. Now that we've moved into the future, that we're in the last days, one of the most powerful tools and resources God has given you and me is the power to create, to be creative. And what allows us to do that is when we embrace our imagination or put faith in our imagination and not reject our imagination. Our imagination is a gift from God. So we learn that God's creative. The other thing we learn, he gave that all of that to Adam and Eve. And he gave Adam and Eve the Garden of Eden. And God gave Adam and Eve, in the Garden of Eden and on planet Earth, he gave them the power to rule and reign and to exercise dominion or rulership over planet Earth. So what God had in mind when he created the human race and Adam and Eve, and he still has it in mind for you and me and all believers in Jesus Christ, the template that God originally created for mankind was we were created by God to rule and reign planet Earth and exercise dominion and rulership over the Garden of Eden, planet Earth. We were supposed to be, in the mind of God, the head, not the tail. So what happened? What happened was Adam and Eve were seduced by very powerful lies and spiritual deception that came to them through an erect reptilian serpent that Lucifer or Satan indwelt or possessed. And God only had one commandment for Adam and Eve. Don't eat from the tree in the middle of the garden, because in the day that you do, you'll surely die. The devil, being crafty and having wiles and having trickery and manipulative ability and deceptive abilities, he kind of like hypnotizes Adam and Eve, gets them to eat from the fruit of the tree in the middle of the garden. That activates the death force. It activates the law of sin and death. Adam and Eve begin to die, and instantaneously, in a nanosecond, Adam and Eve lose their authority to rule and reign. They lose their ability to exercise dominion or rulership over planet Earth. They're stripped of their title and power and authority. And as an act of counterfeit revolution, the serpent of old, Lucifer or Satan, seizes the opportunity and becomes the temporary god of this world. And at this moment of time, Satan or Lucifer is the temporary god of this world. And in a counterfeit sense, he's ruling and reigning planet Earth, because we lost, by disobeying God, our authority to rule and reign planet Earth. But God, in his word, shows us the future. And the future, in God's word, in the book of Revelation, reveals that you and I are destined to become priest kings or priestess queens. That means, as both men and women, in the book of Revelation, it reveals that we're joint heirs with Jesus. And we are in the process of becoming, we're destined to become priests or priestesses first. That means our spiritual duties first, the love of God first. And then finally, we're to become priest kings or priestess queens, which means God returns to us the supernatural authority to rule and reign with him from the throne room of God in the new heaven, the new earth, the new Jerusalem for all of eternity. We will rule and reign, and we'll be given brand new glorified bodies. And we will use our creativity, our gifts and talents like you have no idea once again. So this transition hasn't happened. We've been promised it. We can see it in God's word. But now we need to act upon it. So we need to possess the land like Joshua and Caleb. We possess the land. So, for example, in America right now, as I said in the title of my book, The Greatest Battle for the Hearts and Minds of Mankind in the History of the World, we're in that battle right now. And then I talk about in my brand new book, Power from On High, I talk about how we can access the wisdom and intelligence and supernatural power from God, the dunamis, the dynamite power of God, that will enable us to occupy until he comes through the supernatural power of God. And so, notice there's an expression which goes like this. The artist is more powerful than the politician. It's a famous expression. The artist is more powerful than the politician, which basically means that the man or woman who is an artist or who is creative in any area of creativity, film, art, business, entrepreneurship, you could list many fields. But that statement, the artist is more powerful than the politician, should shake you up And it especially should shake up the Christian community, because the Christian community doesn't understand that truth or concept. And as a consequence, the Christian community in many areas is losing the spiritual war, because they think falsely that the politician or the president or the government official, the politician is the one with all the power, that the politician is more powerful than the artist. That is false. That is a lack of knowledge. That is not true. You have to have knowledge, which is power, and you have to understand that the reason the artist is more powerful than the politician is because the artist possesses something far more valuable than what the politician possesses. The politician may possess money, finances, resources, connection. Okay? That's all very, very powerful. But in contrast, the artist possesses first and foremost creativity. And because the artist possesses creativity, in the long run, or even the short term, creativity always triumphs over the politician. The artist is more powerful than the politician because the artist has the power to create. And if you have the power to create, then generating monies or connections or whatever else it is easy. The thing that's in greater demand, the thing that gives you more power, is not being a politician. See, Christians are all hung up with, like, yes, it's absolutely important who's going to be president. There are political issues that are absolutely important. But what's more important than the politician is the artist. And God is not a politician. The first thing that God tells us about himself in Genesis is that he's creative and he's creator. Therefore, God is an artist. God in and of himself is more powerful than a politician. But as an artist, the artist is more powerful than a politician. That is a powerful truth to own. So we are, as I said with the title of my book, in the greatest battle for the hearts and minds of mankind in the history of the world. That battle takes place internally, inside of people, in the form of images, ideas, belief systems, lies, truth. There's a war, a raging war going on internally in the lives and hearts of every man. Woman alive. And it's a life and death war. It's an eternal war. It's a war between God and Satan. And God's going to win. Now, the key thing, notice that the military, especially in the United States, have made a science out of warfare. They call it military science. Military science is very, very high level science and technology and understanding. But in military science, in warfare, the key thing is to win over your enemy, to conquer your enemy. And many times that means internally, in the warfare inside the heart and mind of people. So the key, the objective, is that we learn to use the weapons that are the most powerful weapons. That's how you win a war. It's not an accident that military scientists and the military and the Office of Naval Intelligence, of all the fields and professions they could have chosen from, the Office of Naval Intelligence deliberately chose to get what they considered the most creative people on the planet in terms of science, technology, warfare, the supernatural. And those people were the science fiction writers, the artists of the golden age of science fiction. It's not an accident that the military, which is all about the business of winning wars and battles, among any group of individuals, they chose deliberately, they chose to select science fiction novelists and writers, artists, because they knew the science fiction writers had the greatest capacity for imagination, for thinking outside of the box, for understanding things like the Vril Force. And the military, our military, was so intelligent that they selected what they considered the most powerful military assets available to them. And in this battle, it wasn't guns, tanks, bombs, or jets. It was science fiction authors, science fiction writers, because they were artists who could think outside of the box and not only be creative and artistic, but understand, as science fiction writers, futuristic science fiction technologies and the supernatural. That's not an accident. That's not something you just trip over and forget. That's wisdom crying out in the streets. That's you paying attention and really getting at where wisdom cries out in the streets. It would be ideal if God's people, in their understanding of spiritual warfare, not only understood the full dynamics of spiritual warfare, but that God's people would understand the importance and priority of people with imagination, creativity, artists, science fiction authors, etc. They play in our military, which is very smart, they play the highest level role because they can envision the future. You see, this is imperative. If you don't get this, you don't get anything. God's word says, my people perish for lack of vision, for a lack of ability to see the future, predict the future, or change the future. God is saying, my people right now at this second are perishing in the United States and around the world because they have no vision. My people perish. They're losing the great spiritual battle primarily because they're perishing for lack of vision. Think about that. How do you solve that problem? You don't continue on in the monotony, boredom, non-creative, no creativity mode, because that destroys and kills vision. It kills the imagination. God understood this long before science fiction writers, and that is, without vision, his people perish. They're destroyed by the devil. Because the devil has an amazing amount of creativity and knowledge, and that's why, tragically, it's tragic. This is not the way God intended it for it to be, ever. God never wanted this. This is due to default. The majority of artists, painters, musicians, poets, creative people of all kinds, the vast majority are usually people who live, not all of them, but many of them live sinful lifestyles and lifestyles that are in open rebellion from God. Why is that? The reason that is because the Christian culture wrongfully discourages and punishes young, budding artists, people who are creative, people who are trying to develop their creative talents and abilities. The Christian culture often punishes. And as a result, we go into the warfare from an inferior position, one that God never intended. God intended for his people to be the head, not the tail. Because God made us his people. God made us in his image. What image is that? In the image of God, he made them both, male and female. But not only that, God is a creator, capital C, and he uses creativity. So if we are being in the image of God, we should also be creative and function as creators. That is how you win the spiritual warfare of the ages. That's how you win hearts and minds and souls for Jesus. That's how you get your son and your daughter back to the Lord. That's the way. Don't ignore the way. Jesus is the truth, the way, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through him. Now, so, the weapons of our warfare are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. God wants us to use wisdom and to use the weapons that are the most efficient, the most powerful. Those are the weapons that are mighty through God, not just mighty through man, but weapons that are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. What is a stronghold? A stronghold is a satanically energized argument, creativity, a satanically energized vision, film, TV, a satanically energized artist, a satanically energized idea, belief system. For the weapons of our warfare are mighty through God. We got that. To the pulling down of strongholds. It is strongholds embedded in the minds and hearts of children, adults, older adults, people everywhere. It is strongholds that Satan has embedded in the hearts and minds and consciousness of people everywhere. And these strongholds blind people from seeing Christ, from seeing the Bible, from seeing the truth of the Bible. And the blindness exists because it's activated by strongholds which blind the person looking from seeing the truth, because the stronghold presents a counterfeit demonic vision, a counterfeit substitute of the truth. For the God of this world, let's say, has blinded the eyes of the unbelieving that they might not see the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. So when we use the weapons of our warfare that are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, we are pulling down those strongholds by targeting them with the weapons of our warfare that are mighty through God. Those are the supernatural weapons of God that vaporize or demolish the counterfeit creativity, the counterfeit blindness that blinds people from seeing the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ. So what does this all mean? Well, what it means is that you and I are in a war, the greatest war in the history of mankind. We're in the last days. Each one of us has been called by God to play a particular role. But the key to victory, the key to being an overcomer, the key to winning people to Jesus Christ, the key to being an overcomer, the key to unlocking an authentic and biblical revival or an authentic and biblical Third Great Awakening in America. The key to it is that we understand that we have to have two things in motion. Number one, we need to be open and walking in the genuine and authentic dunamis, Holy Spirit, the dynamite power or the authentic Holy Spirit of God, and not walking in a counterfeit Spirit of God, like the Kundalini Spirit, or Eastern mystical spirits, or Luciferian spirits, or false prophecy, or false doctrine spirits. We walk in the way of the Word. That's number one. And we're open to the true Holy Spirit, because God wants, being open means we're willing to be clothed with power from on high. The dunamis, dynamite, explosive force of God. That's number one. Number two is, and this is what Christians in America are asleep on this. Number two is knowledge. If we don't have knowledge, biblical-based knowledge, knowledge that comes from a biblical worldview, knowledge grants us power and authority. So we need two things to win the spiritual war for America, the spiritual war for people's lives, your life, my life, the people we know. We need two things. We need an openness to the genuine Holy Spirit of God, and we need to be open to knowledge, Bible-based knowledge, which gives us power. Christians have neglected the knowledge part. And because they have neglected the knowledge part, God has not been able to trust or entrust Christians with the supernatural power, the dunamis, dynamite power of the Holy Spirit. Because if he did give us the dunamis, dynamite power of the Holy Spirit, we would either, due to our lack of knowledge, run out and open ourselves up to a counterfeit spirit like the Kundalini spirit, or an occult spirit, or due to a lack of knowledge, we would open ourselves up to a spirit of deception and delusion and mismanage it. And you would see chaos and craziness. No. You have to be open to the genuine, authentic Holy Spirit. And you have to have the knowledge that comes from God's word. It's the knowledge that comes from God's word that gives you the ability to accept and receive and use the authentic dunamis, dynamite power of the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the anointing of the Holy Spirit, evangelism, and everything else. You have to have the two things in place. When you have those two things in place, not one, the body of Christ in America and around the world, this is what will happen, and it will happen very quickly, and this is what God wants to happen, but I'm not saying this in a fatalistic manner as if I'm saying to you, I'm not saying to you, God told me this is going to happen. I'm not guaranteeing to you that this is going to happen, or promising you that God's going to do this. No, none of the above. All I'm saying is that if we abide by God's principles, including knowledge and being open to the authentic Holy Spirit, if we do that in the way God expects us to do it, which is biblically, then and only then, if we are faithful, and if we repent, and if we remain centered on the Word of God, there's a lot of, you know, qualifiers. If we do those things, then it is highly possible or probable. Only God knows. I don't know. It's highly possible and highly probable that if the spiritual and biblical conditions are met by the body of Christ, that God will begin to move very fast, very powerfully, in a quick, incremental manner, which means all of a sudden you will see within this physical reality strongholds of many kinds, strongholds that create counterfeit futures, counterfeit outcomes, counterfeit revivals, or whatever. You will see very quickly those strongholds begin to fall one after another, after another, after another, and they will accelerate in how fast they fall. And as they fall faster and faster, the supernatural body of Christ will be anointed, will receive power from on high from God, the dunamis power of the Holy Spirit. And all, as the strongholds fall one after another with great speed, God's people will occupy the land that's left over. God's people will occupy until he comes. And it's highly probable and possible, if we meet those conditions that God requires, it's highly possible and probable that we will see the spiritual battle in America and other nations of the world. We will see the tide of the spiritual battle, perhaps slowly at first and then speeding up. The tide of the spiritual battle will begin to turn potentially 180 degrees from the direction it was in. That means if we were in a total losing or major losing position, when these spiritual conditions are met, we will find that God has repositioned us in a total or close to total victorious and winning position. That's a turning of the tide of the spiritual battle by 180 degrees. And even if it's not a turning of the tide of the spiritual battle by 180 degrees, whatever amount or degree there's a turning of the tide of the spiritual battle, at this particular moment in history, because of the particular prophetic events that are happening in history, whatever the numerical amount of degrees are that we turn in the tide of the spiritual battle, it will function as a force multiplier, which is a military term for when you use one weapon and then you use other weapons, and the combined effect of one or more weapons working together functions as a force multiplier, which means you don't get just twice as much energy, twice as much military power. It can start ramping up to like 10 times as much military power, because there's a dynamic military science principle at work, which is called a force multiplier. So imagine God's people, the body of Christ, fulfilling God's spiritual conditions in faith, repentance, and obedience. Imagine the spiritual battle in America beginning to turn a certain number of degrees. And then imagine for a moment that as the tide of the battle, spiritual battle, begins to turn a certain number of degrees, that it kicks in as a force multiplier, and that which minds that do not possess the ability to be an artist, to be creative, to use imagination, to have vision, minds that are devoid or are incapable of operating in the creative or artistic or imagination or vision realm, when the tide of the battle is turned whatever number of degrees, there comes a consequent restoration of powerful gifts and callings of the Holy Spirit, which then function and act as a force multiplier. So that means gifts that were non-existent or destroyed or mutilated come alive again. And one of those primary gifts is the gift of an artist, creativity, as in the Creator, capital C, imagination, vision, and the knowledge and awareness of those things functioning together as a force multiplier. What you will see is a literal seismic shaking in the invisible realm or spiritual world, where demonic powers, principalities and powers, various rankings of fallen angels are shaken in their foundation through a seismic planetary force. They're shaken in their foundation, and then the shaking in their foundation meets a particular frequency, or EMF, or electromagnetic frequency. And when the force multiplier causes it to meet or synchronize with a particular EMF or electromagnetic frequency, when that frequency is locked into, again, there's an explosion of a force multiplier, and you see demonic kingdom after demonic stronghold after demonic army destroyed, consumed with the fire and judgment of God, as it is depicted in the book of Revelation. As you see and read the book of Revelation, you see the trumpet judgments and the scroll judgments and the four horses of the apocalypse and meteorites and all these cataclysmic judgments that fall under the seven-year umbrella of the tribulation or the great tribulation, that seven-year time period where God shakes the earth with incredible judgment. So the force multiplier of God's people getting in proper alignment with God, holiness, energizes the dunamis dynamite power of God and flattens all the armies that are gathered against Christ at the Valley of Megiddo. All the nations of the world, all the armies of the world are gathered against Christ at his second coming along with the armies of heaven. But when Christ comes at the second coming and the armies of heaven come with him, then they demolish this massive military force consisting of the major armies of the most powerful military nations on earth. They're flattened at Megiddo or the Battle of Armageddon. And then it's over. I mean, it's over. It's done. Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He rules and reigns planet Earth from its new capital in Jerusalem. And he brings in the thousand-year millennial reign of Jesus Christ. God bless you. This is Paul McGuire. This has been another prophetic update. And remember, Jesus is Lord. Be sure to visit paulmcguire.us. That's paulmcguire.us. And remember, we can do what God has called us to do because you're faithful, and we thank you for your faithfulness in being an intercessory prayer warrior for me, my family, and this ministry, for spreading this message far and wide, and finally, by asking the Lord how much you should contribute or donate financially, and then just simply do whatever God tells you to do. God bless you. This is Paul McGuire. Visit paulmcguire.us. That's paulmcguire.us.